I have some good news for you today. Victory over temptation can be yours. Victory over temptation is available to you. So often it's easy to fall under a cloud of discouragement and feel like there's no hope, and it's impossible to unbury oneself from the avalanche of wickedness that surrounds us and the temptation that assails us. But victory over temptation can be yours. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, where we read about the temptation of Christ. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we invite you to speak to us through your word. We thank you for what you went through, Lord Jesus, what you did to identify with us in our own struggles against temptation. And we thank you, Lord, for your victory and how you now offer that to us. We pray that as we read this word in and assimilate this word and take in this word, that it would change our thinking and then change our sense of identity and change our behavior and give us, by your Spirit, the ability to succeed in our fight against temptation. And now in Jesus' name, we take authority over this time together and we break off the attacks of the enemy. We silence the demonic and we release the peace of Christ into this room and over each one who's listening now. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew chapter 4 talks about the amazing situation where the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 1, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The Holy Spirit was the one guiding. The Holy Spirit was at work. And the Holy Spirit guided, the Holy Spirit of God guided the Son of God into the wilderness. Wilderness throughout your Bible is seen as a time of testing, a time of trial, a time of a place where what's really going on inside of us is being discerned. Jesus is led there. And it says in verse 2, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and did some tempting. Notice that this is immediately following the paragraph preceding where Jesus was baptized. In the baptism of Christ, we have God the Father's voice booming from the heavens. We have the Holy Spirit of God descending in bodily form onto the Son of God. In that triune moment, the voice from the heavens says, "You are my Son, my beloved, whom I love, and in whom I am well pleased." That's an identity statement. That's an ownership statement. That's a declaration of pride that the Father has in the Son. And immediately from that, Jesus goes out into the wilderness. So one of the things we discern right away as we're seeing what was going on in Jesus' life and what we then can transfer over into our lives is that your identity will determine your victory. You need to know your identity. Jesus, the Son of God, benefited from hearing the voice of the Father saying, "You are my Son, whom I love, and in whom I am well pleased." And it's absolutely essential, if you're going to be victorious in your fight against temptation, that you start from the position of recognizing your identity in Christ. The truth is that every son or daughter of God is beloved, is loved by God, dearly loved. And God claims you as his own. He wraps his arms securely around you, making you his forever. And he speaks over you his pleasure, his delight, his adoring you. God the Father, by the work of God the Son, applied by God the Holy Spirit, loves you. And you want to be a recipient of that love, because that then determines your identity. You walk through each day as God's beloved, and the enemy is going to do everything he can to keep you from believing that. Have you ever heard God say, I love you? If you've never heard that, I want to encourage you that that is something God wants to correct inside of you. He wants to give you an encounter with himself whereby the Word of God becomes alive in you, activated by the Spirit of God, so that you perceive the voice of God saying, I love you. You're mine. I'm proud of you. In fact, we're going to pray on that when we get to the end, but we can't wait that long. So would you pray with me right now? Simply say, Lord, I need to be assured of your love. I give myself to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to rescue me, Lord Jesus Christ, and make me a child of God. And I invite you to speak into my spirit the truth of your love. In Jesus' name, amen. It says that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. That word tempted could also be translated tested. What's going on here is that the true identity and the victory of Christ is being revealed. Sometimes you test a product to see if it will withstand the use it's intended for. Sometimes you test grain to see the content of the quality of the grain or the dryness of it or the protein count of it. You test things to determine what they are. Here, Jesus Christ is going through this wilderness experience, not because he's going to be risking failure, but because his identity and his victory are going to be revealed. Think about that the next time you enter a difficult time. God allows you to enter a time of testing, not because he thinks you're going to fail, but because he knows that by the power of the Spirit, you're going to succeed. And you're going to learn something about your God and about yourself as you go through that time of trial. You're going to learn how to rely upon God's strength and be guided by the Spirit. And you're going to come through that trial. The thing that seems so difficult in front of you is actually an opportunity for the glory of God to be revealed in you. So that means you can see a wilderness experience and a testing time as something that's going to benefit you and bring God great glory because God will bring you safely and victoriously through it. The next thing we notice in that one little verse is that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Scripture clearly communicates the reality of an actual devil. The Satan, the accuser, the tempter, he is real. It's not a figment of some ancient culture's imagination. It is a real being, a created being who lives, who exists, and who's at work. And his goal is to trip you up. We need to be aware of that so as we go through life, we're not ignorant of the devil's schemes. We're not unaware of his tactics when we know he's at work. The devil wants to trip you up. One of the reasons why is he sees your potential. He worked hard to trip up the Lord Jesus Christ because he knew what the Lord Jesus Christ had the potential to do. And the Satan wants to tempt you and trip you so that you will not do what God has already foreordained you to do. You have a calling on your life. You have a purpose for existence. There are people around you who need to hear about Christ, and your personality, your experiences, your passions, your voice are the one that will be most effective at communicating to them the truth of God. And Satan wants to keep you from doing that. He wants to keep you from your destiny, from your assignment, from your purpose. He's trying to trip you up. You need to be aware of that so you can fight against it and move into victory. Verse 2 says that after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And verse 3, and the tempter came. Now the tempter, I want to be careful not to arouse his ire so that he attacks even more strongly, but I'm thinking he's not too smart here. He looks at this situation and sees the Lord Jesus weak from 40 days of fasting. And he thinks, oh, this is the prime time to attack. What he didn't see was was what was going on inside. 40 days of fasting does not make a man weak spiritually. It makes him very strong. This is probably the worst time Satan could have picked to attack Christ. He spent 40 days away from distractions of the world, 40 days in communion with his Father, 40 days of denying himself fleshly things so that his spirit could be made strong. Fasting makes a person strong. Fasting prepares one for trials and temptations and wilderness experiences. Fasting is an essential spiritual discipline that you and I need to be strengthened for the attacks of the enemy. Verse 3, and the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. The question was one of his identity first. If you are the Son of God. Or other translators put it into English with the word, since you are the Son of God. Either way, it's a bringing into question this sense of who he is. And because of who he is, what he then could do. It's similar to what Satan's first tactic was against the first man of God, Adam and his wife Eve. Causing them to doubt their identity, doubt their assignment, doubt God's goodness. And that's where every attack against you will begin. Are you a son of God? Are you a daughter of God? Answering that question will determine how you respond to every other trick and scheme of the evil one. Getting that one right is essential. If you are the Son of God, the tempter then says, command these stones to become loaves of bread. We call this the first temptation of Christ. Command these stones to become loaves of bread. The devil is thinking, well, you're hungry. You're 40 days without food. Your desire for bread must be really insatiable. You won't be able to resist it. So use your power to meet your own needs. Jump out of a reliance and dependence and humbleness before God and reliance on Him and jump into meeting your own needs. Use God's empowerment and gifts to satisfy your own wants. The temptation to make loaves of bread is similar to most of the temptations you're going to face, as it's a flesh-level temptation. Are you hungry? Do something about it. Do you have cravings? Let them out and meet their needs and allow them to be expressed. Let the body determine what you do and how you respond to situations. Operate out of your flesh and let your cravings rule. And Jesus was quick to resist this attempt to make him focus on fleshly things. And he said, verse 4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, Jesus had already been in this 40 days of humbling himself and submitting himself, trusting in God to meet his needs. 40 days of fasting is pretty intense. It's a death to self that's occurring. There's actually death of parts of your body that occur as cells die off from lack of nutrition. But in that process, the Spirit is made strong. And Jesus was quickly able to go to the Word of God to fight against the temptation. Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And that truth is the truth that allows you to fight victoriously. How do you fight? With the Word of God. You live by the Word of God. You're birthed by the Word of God. Just as all creation was birthed by the Word of God, so now you live every day, every moment in victory through the Word of God. You become a man or a woman, a child of God, loved by God, who brings God joy, and you receive God's Word, mull it over, dwell on it, meditate on it, so it becomes part of who you are, and then when temptation comes, it bubbles out of you, and it spews forth to confront and defeat the enemy. The Word of God is your weapon. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's interesting to note that there is quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let me see if I can find where down on my list. I know I put it towards the bottom, think I'd do it later, but let me see if I can find Deuteronomy chapter 8 for us now. I love how this section of Scripture must have been what Jesus Christ was meditating on as he responded. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1 reads this way. Moses speaking to the people of God in the wilderness. Moses says to the people of God, "The whole commandment that I command you today, you should be careful to do, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land that the Lord swore to give to your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness, and that he may humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. And he humbled you and let you hunger, and then fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he, God, might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of God." You see, Jesus is the victorious man of God, Son of God. The Israelite people were supposed to be victorious. They were supposed to go through their wilderness experience and come out on the other side strengthened and prepared and obedient. But as Moses was receiving the very words from God, the people are sinning and rebelling. And as Moses, at the end of his life in Deuteronomy, is reminding them of God's truth, a second telling of the law of God, the word of God, they soon thereafter tried to enter the land and were defeated. They failed in the wilderness, but Jesus succeeded in the wilderness. Think about how this wilderness experience ends up in our Bible. Jesus was alone. There were no crowds around him to observe this time. He hadn't called any disciples yet. They were not by his side. Jesus was alone in the wilderness. So how does this become part of our Bible? Jesus recounted this experience to his disciples. And then by the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus had his disciples put this into their accounts of his life and ministry and experience, so that you know Jesus and know how to be like Jesus. This is specifically put into your scriptures for you to read, receive, adopt, live out, mimic, recreate in your own experience. You are to fight against temptation, against wilderness experiences, against testing, against the devil, like Jesus did. And you, unlike the Jewish people of generations preceding, are to be like Jesus. You are to be victorious. So Jesus defeated the devil's first attack. He did not make bread for himself and take a shortcut out of his fasting experience. He relied upon the power and the truth of God, and he fought back this satanic temptation. He used Scripture, and we too will use Scripture. The second temptation, starting at verse 5, "Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command the angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" So Satan tried to mimic Christ and quoted Scripture. The problem was he misquoted it. He didn't quote the whole thing. He took it a little bit out of context and tried to put a different slant on it. And Jesus recognizes that and confronts it. Misused Scripture has been the downfall of many. I want to caution you, people of God. I want to caution you that a misunderstanding of Scripture and a misuse of Scripture, a misapplication of Scripture, has caused many to fall. How do you fight against the misuse of Scripture? Is you learn Scripture accurately and you increase your skill in using it appropriately. You read it, you learn it, you then apply it appropriately so that your situation is guided by the truth of God's Word, not simply a quote of some aspect, some nugget, some little segment of God's Word. Jesus saw the misquoting and worked against it, fought against it. Verse 7, Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, from the book of Deuteronomy. I wonder if the first temptation was trying to get Jesus to meet his physical needs, if the second temptation was trying to get him to meet his assignment, his assumed destiny, his purpose, trying to achieve what he thought he was there to do in a different way than what the Father had intended for him. The devil tempts him to throw himself down, somehow to prove that God's love is real by intervening and rescuing him, by angels grabbing him and holding him up before he hit the ground. See, Jesus didn't need a profound restatement of God's love. He had already received that. He already knew God loved him. He had just come up through those baptism waters. He had just heard the pronouncement from heaven. He had just had the Holy Spirit drive into him the truth that he was God's Son, his beloved, in whom God was very pleased. And I believe that this temptation and the exposing of this tactic is crucial for you, because you might doubt God's love at times. You might think, I need God to show up in a spectacular way right now because I'm just wondering if he's really caring about me. So I need you, God, to do this this miracle and this great rescue and this great provision. Do this big thing so I know you love me, God. If you've ever voiced something like that, I want you to recognize that comes from the devil trying to play upon your weaknesses. As he tempted Jesus to try to force God's hand, the devil is trying to cause you to force God's hand. And God wants you to recognize that he speaks to you by his Spirit to confirm his love to you in his inner voice, in the deep places of your heart. He doesn't do it in the spectacular and the things that cause a scene. He does it deep inside you. He wants you to listen to that voice. Hear these words from Romans 8, 14 through 17. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, children of God. You did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons or as daughters. And by him, the Spirit, we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if we're children, then we're heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we also suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him." Don't seek the spectacular reassurance. Seek the inner reassurance. Call out to God. Say, "God, do you love me? Show me deep inside." That's where you'll hear the voice of God. Remind yourselves of these verses. Romans 8, 14 through 17. The third temptation, verse 8, again the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these I will give to you if you will fall down and worship me." See, that's what the devil has been after from the very beginning, seeking to usurp God's glory and receive worship instead of God being the recipient of worship. And the devil wants you to worship him. He wants you to be so afraid of him and so preoccupied with him that he gets all your attention. He wants you to pursue his agenda and his aims and even his ways of achieving things. But Jesus sees through it and resists that temptation and does not take a shortcut to the receiving of all the kingdoms of the world. But he's willing, just as he went through 40 days of death to self in fasting, he's willing to go all the way through to the cross of total denying of himself, dying to self, so that the will of God could be accomplished and purchase every kingdom and person forever into the kingdom of God. Jesus says to his tempter, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." My time is short, but would you look these verses over? Would you ask Christ to reveal to you his tactics for defeating temptation? Would you see that your identity determines your victory? Would you see that resisting the attack of the devil and the world and the flesh is essential? Would you recognize that these shortcuts will never achieve the thing that God most wants to do in your life? Will you be willing to stand up and say, "Thou shalt not pass," to the evil one? You shall not stay. You shall not remain. Get out of here. Jesus was aggressively resistant to the devil. He knew he was real, and he fought against him. And you too, my friends, must take that example to heart. Your fight against the evil one. We're taught to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," or from the evil one. Jesus taught us in his prayer to do this, and he showed us in the first verse of his ministry to do this. You can be victorious over temptation. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you showed us how. Now empower us to follow your lead. Give us the ability to recognize the lies of the enemy. Give us the ability to know your word and then apply it correctly. Give us the ability to stand up and say no to Satan and resist all of his attacks. Lord, enable us to be humble and actually die to self, so that you might truly live through us and be glorified. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.